19-0013, State versus Erith. 19-0013, please approach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Brittany Lewitt. I'm here this morning on behalf of the appellant, Ms. Jamie Erith. We are asking that this court reverse the district court's affirmation of the trial court's ruling in admitting evidence of Ms. Erith's prior theft conviction under 27-404 and also to find that there was not sufficient evidence to convict her of shoplifting in this matter. First, the trial court erred in admitting evidence of the prior shoplift in violation of Rule 404. Initially, in this case, we had a pretrial 404 hearing at which the county court judge decided that the evidence was not admissible under 404. I submit that was the correct ruling. She later, the trial court later changed that ruling during trial and allowed the evidence to come in for both 404 and impeachment purposes. The state's rebuttal was improper because 404 is not admissible for impeachment purposes. Nebraska courts have held that evidence relating to a collateral issue is inadmissible when used for purposes of impeachment on rebuttal. Under State v. Stewart, the court held that evidence of a previous incident that did not involve or explain the circumstances of the charged crime and was not an integral part of the overall occurrence or transaction was not admissible. This case is similar. The evidence presented was about an unrelated event that did not prove Ms. Erith's intent in this case to shoplift or explain anything about the circumstances of the offense that was charged. The testimony regarding the prior 2015 incident was essentially propensity evidence offered under the guise of impeachment. As indicated in Jones v. Trenisi, the Nebraska Supreme Court affirmed the exclusion of the rebuttal testimony in that case relating to a collateral matter to impeach, rather than in that instance to prove the defendant's negligence.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you for a second.
Absolutely.
So 404-2, we recognize it's there, its purpose is to avoid propensity evidence.
Correct.
The second sentence of 404-2 is, it may, however, be admissible for other purposes such as proof of motive, opportunity, intent, preparation, plan, knowledge, identity, or absence of mistake or accident.
Yes.
Wasn't your client's defense that this was a mistake?
It was.
Doesn't that fly right in the face of that? Isn't that exactly what the exception is for? They're saying this wasn't a mistake. They've done it before.
My response is, though, is that when we look at other issues and other things that we need to take into consideration, 404 still doesn't meet all of the factors and all of the tests. I'd mentioned in my brief there are four factors. I'll jump down to what is factor number three, that the probative value is substantially outweighed by the unfair prejudice. For prior evidence of bad acts to have probative value, it must be related in time, place, and circumstance. This was 18 months apart at least. Different locations, and if you compare the facts or allegations in each matter, they were very different. In the 2015 case, Ms. Erith and her husband were accused of concealing items. Ms. Erith went to the bathroom, I believe, while her husband checked out, and then they were later caught. In the incident at hand, they are accused of not scanning all of the items and switching tags on items. So these are also a different set of circumstances. Not only are they remote in time, but there's not significant probative value in this instance to outweigh the prejudice. The risk here is that the jury may have very well have said, well, they did it before, therefore they did it again, when the evidence really was just for propensity purposes. Further, that doesn't meet the other factors either, as laid out in McManus and later expanded by Kuhn. It was not relevant. Again, it was not related to the prior incident. Their only relevance was propensity. There was no probative value. As I indicated, it was at least a year and a half before. Further, the evidence did not have a proper purpose. There was nothing in the testimony that was presented about the 2015 incident that went to it being an absence of mistake or accident in this case, as it relates to not properly scanning items because they were rushed and in a hurry and not paying attention. And the county court erred in admitting it for that purpose because it didn't meet that test.
But isn't this a prime example of the defense opening the door by the defendant's own testimony, by the statement she made?
Right, and I understand, and the state had argued the doctrine of specific contradiction in their brief. I would note and would ask this court to give consideration to the fact that, first, this doctrine does not override the fact that the rebuttal testimony was not otherwise admissible under 404 and therefore not proper impeachment. But also ask this court to consider that Walder v. United States and State v. Carpenter do not take any sort of consideration, don't give consideration to a 403 analysis. My reading of the case essentially is that if the defense opens the door, the state certainly gets to respond, but there's no way to limit that. The state could offer evidence that goes essentially too far the other way. They get free range to come in and say whatever they want, whether it would have met any other test of admissibility. And essentially, when we're talking about rebuttal, the defense doesn't have an opportunity to respond after that. And so it creates, essentially, it's an unfair rule. I mean, they're trying to address fairness, but it can go the other way. And then the defense has to sit there and kind of take it with no opportunity to respond.
The judge would be the gatekeeper on whether it goes too far, right?
I would like to think so. I don't think Carpenter allowed for that. But I think, yes, the judge would be the one as to whether or not it would go too far in that instance. But I would ask the court to consider laying that out. Because as I read the rule right now, there's not that test. It just says even if it's otherwise admissible, it gets to come in without giving any sort of consideration to these other factors of fairness, whether there's any probative value, whether the prejudice of that is too much. And I would ask also that the court would consider that if evidence is going to be coming in and information giving to the jury about this, perhaps the trial court needs to give a limiting instruction even at the time the evidence is coming in. The risk is that the jury will see this as propensity evidence, and that's certainly what we're wanting to avoid. And
there was a limiting instruction given in this case, correct?
There was a limiting instruction, but I would submit that it did not cure the error here. It was satisfied as factor four. I think I skipped that one here. I instructed the jury that the evidence was only for a limited purpose. They satisfied that in part because the court did receive the evidence for 404, did allow it in, and gave the proper 404 limiting instruction. But our contention is, again, it was not proper impeachment, and thus it was not cured by that limiting instruction, and the jury should not have been able to consider it for credibility of the witnesses. As it goes back to the doctrine of specific contradiction, I would ask, yes, that the court give a very clear limiting instruction, possibly even at the time the information is coming in and being presented to the jury, so that they know this is for impeachment, this is for credibility, not propensity evidence, because the risk is just too great that they'll say they did it before, they did it again, and not perhaps give full weight to the other evidence presented at trial.
If I'm following you correctly, in addition to a 404 objection, was there also a 403 and 401 objection all made here, such that the court was separately analyzing those issues?
I will have to defer to the record. We tried this case some time ago. I do believe I made that argument. Again, I'll have to defer to the record, though. But if I didn't, I should have.
Okay. I mean, your position here is even if 404 applies because of the absence of mistake, if it's so remote in time, there still has to be a balancing analysis, a relevancy versus unfair prejudice analysis.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think we need to go further with this than what's currently set forward. Further, as it relates to our second argument, there was insufficient evidence to convict Ms. Arith of shoplifting in this case. The state, as this court knows, has a duty to prove every single element by proof beyond a reasonable doubt. We submit, as we've been discussing, that they did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Ms. Arith had the intent necessary in this case. If anything, she acted negligently, not intentionally. There was evidence presented by the state that she failed to scan every item. As Ms. Arith testified and as the evidence showed, she was very flustered and not paying attention and did not have the intent to do that. Further, the state alleged that Ms. Arith had switched tags on items. There's not significant evidence to show that she did that.
But there is evidence that at least, I think, six of the items had the wrong barcode on them.
And it was, yes. We're not disputing that. We're disputing that Ms. Arith is is the reason that those rang up the wrong way. The loss prevention officer from Walmart even testified at trial, their store is just too big, their inventory is too big to keep track of. There's not a good way to know, does every item have a tag? Is that tag correct? Do we even have the number of items we think we have? So there's a lot of holes here and a lot of gaps in the state's case. And so the evidence presented at trial did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Ms. Arith had the requisite intent to shoplift. So for all these reasons, we are asking that this court reverse the district court's order, vacate Ms. Arith's conviction, and remand for further proceedings. And as indicated, I'd also ask the court to give some further thought to adding a further balancing test to the doctrine of specific contradiction.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Jordan Osborne, Assistant Attorney General representing the state of Nebraska in this case. Arith has presented two issues. The first relates to the trial court's admission of the evidence of the prior shoplifting incident under Rule 404, and the second is that the evidence was insufficient to support a conviction. The state disagrees with both of those claims. It appears here that the defendant is conflating the admission of the 2015 evidence for purposes of impeachment and the admission of the evidence for purposes of Rule 404. Somehow thinking that the 2015 evidence was admitted for impeachment through Rule 404 or somehow that it's related to Rule 404, and that's not factually correct. The county court initially stated that the 2015 evidence was being admitted for purposes of impeachment only, didn't say that it was being admitted for purposes of 404, the court ruled that it was admissible for purposes of impeachment because the defendant had opened the door in her direct testimony by stating that she would always fix the issue if something wasn't paid for.
And there's no challenge to that determination that it was proper for impeachment purposes?
That's correct. And so I'll get to that. That in both the assignment of error to the district court and to this court, the only assignment of error is that it was improperly admitted under Rule 404. There is no assignment of error that it was improperly admitted for purposes of impeachment. The Nebraska Supreme Court has stated that errors argued but not assigned will not be considered on appeal. The two purposes for which this evidence was admitted, they were two independent purposes, and if the defendant wished to challenge the admission of evidence for each purpose, that she was required to assign the error to the admission for each purpose, including an assignment of error that it was improperly admitted for impeachment. She has failed to do that.
And was it improper? Was it properly admitted for the purpose of impeachment?
Yes, it was. Regarding the reason why it was admitted for impeachment, that occurred under the doctrine of specific contradiction. When one party has introduced admissible evidence that creates a misleading advantage, the opponent is then allowed to introduce previously suppressed or otherwise inadmissible evidence to counter that misleading advantage. The admission of the 2015 evidence was proper for this impeachment purpose because Arith got up on the stand in her direct testimony and stated that if an item didn't scan properly, she would rescan it. If an item didn't scan, she would do her best to correct it. That she would have an employee correct it. If she got to her car and there was something wrong, an item hadn't been scanned, it scanned at the wrong price, or the proper price hadn't been paid, or the item hadn't been paid for at all, that she would go back inside and correct it. She went on and on in her direct testimony about how she always makes sure that what she is purchasing gets scanned, it gets scanned at the proper price, and it gets paid for. And if something doesn't get paid for, that she would correct it. As the 2015 evidence shows, this just simply was not true. And it misled the jury to think that she always scans every item, that she always pays for the merchandise that she is purchasing. Clearly, she did not do that at Shopko in 2015. The doctrine of specific contradiction stands on its own, and ultimately the defendant has failed to even assign it as being admitted as an error.
So I'm a little confused. Are you saying that the court, you believe, let it in for impeachment purposes and 404? Because it gave a limiting instruction, right?
Yes.
So the limiting instruction would relate to 404. You wouldn't need a limiting instruction with impeachment, would you?
You don't necessarily have to have a limiting instruction for impeachment, but I think in this case, and I'll get to that in speaking about 404, that looping in instruction number 10 is that credibility instruction. That's a limiting instruction for the impeachment purpose, indicating that this evidence was received for you to determine the credibility of the witnesses, and that was one of the reasons why it was admitted, was for purposes of impeachment. Just going back briefly to the facts, the next day, the court then explained that after further consideration, it was also admitting the evidence under Rule 404 to show her intent, knowledge, absence of mistake or accident in committing the shoplifting. That was proper because Aerith is asserting as her defense that her conduct was not intentional, that the whole thing was a mistake, that it was all an accident. She didn't intentionally take anything. That makes her intent the contested issue in the case. Intent is a required element of the offense of shoplifting. Additionally, she also stated in her direct testimony, as I just mentioned, that and she utilized her own testimony as well as the testimony of her husband in this regard to corroborate that stated offense by claiming that she always makes sure that everything is scanned and everything gets paid for, and if it doesn't, that she corrects it. Again, that 2015 incident demonstrates that her and her husband's testimony was false. It made it both relevant and admissible for the proper purpose of showing her intent, knowledge, absence of mistake or accident. Going back to your question about the limiting instruction, the trial court did provide a proper limiting instruction for Rule 404, Subsection 2. That's in Instruction Number 9. As I just stated, it looped in Instruction Number 10, which is for the evidence to be considered for purposes of credibility. That was provided for the impeachment purpose that the evidence was offered. So the instruction there was a proper limiting instruction provided to the jury. The final factor then under 404 subsection 2 is the whether the probative value of the evidence is outweighed by the potential for unfair prejudice. This court has previously stated that the question of whether the evidence was unfairly prejudicial hinges on whether the court properly instructed the jury concerning the evidence's limited use. Since there's a proper limiting instruction for the admission of the evidence, it cannot be said that the evidence had a tendency to suggest a decision on an improper basis. So all of the requirements for proper admission under Rule 404, Subsection 2 have been met, as well as requirements for admission under impeachment. Just briefly, while the state is confident that the evidence of the 2015 incident was admitted properly under Rule 404 and for purposes of impeachment, should this court disagree for any reason, the state asserts that any error in admitting that evidence was harmless, as the evidence of the defendant's guilt was overwhelming even absent that evidence. So a review of the evidence, it makes clear that the verdict rendered was surely unattributable to any error in admitting the 2015 evidence. And just quickly going through some of that evidence, the defendant contended that she never looked at the checkout screen. The surveillance video would show that she looked at it at least three times while she's checking out items. The most important time when she actually looks at it, in the surveillance video, she's holding two items of clothing. One is black and one is green. She testifies that that's a tank top and a pair of shorts. She grabs the price tag of one of those items. She takes a handheld scanner, scans it, looks at the self-checkout screen, and then scans that same price tag a second time. Scanning that same price tag on two non-identical items, that in and of itself, that is evidence of her intentional shoplifting. She never grabbed the other price tag of the non-identical item to scan in the correct price. Civitac testified to that same fact at trial. Even the trial court mentioned it at sentencing, saying that it observed the video and it was clear that she scanned the same item twice. You can also see, so the first three items that are scanned all come up as 88-cent ice cream scoops. And so when she scans that item, then looks at the screen, she's seeing on the screen that it says 88-cent ice cream scoop, and then she scans that same one again. She also has the opportunity to look right at the tag and see what she's scanning. This is all on video, and the jury was able to watch the video for itself, determine her intent directly from the video, and so there is harmless error. So the facts, along with all the other facts that the other reasons and evidence stated in the state's brief, they do demonstrate that the verdict was rendered surely was unattributable to any error in admitting the 2015 evidence. So unless there are any further questions, I would ask this court to affirm the judgment of the district court, which affirmed the judgment of the county court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any further time?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Matter submitted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, final case on the call today, Klein versus Worgen, case number 19-0017, Klein versus Worgen.